Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I bring greetings from the First Presbyterian Church of Caldwell and Chase Community Presbyterian Church. I have been serving as a pulpit supply at both Chase, which is up between Lyons and Great Bend, and then Caldwell, which is down on the Kansas-Oklahoma border. I serve there one Sunday a month at each church, and typically I begin my sermons by sharing news from the other congregations. I include the news from what's going on at Grace, so they kind of are aware of some of the things going on around here, and each churches are kind of getting connected. It's really exciting. So I want to share some of the big news that's going on up in Chase. I think the biggest news is they had a group of about 25 elementary through high school students who attended Westminster Woods this year. 25 is a pretty big number, but the town is only 400. That is a huge percentage of the population. And then at Caldwell, they're also gearing up for Vacation Bible School. And what they've done is they're actually partnering with another church up the street, and they're combining their resources and doing one Vacation Bible School and trying to reach out more to the community. So again, places where the churches are getting together and doing great things. Now today, I'm going to complete a series on the heroes of the early church. The series really started with Pentecost, and then if you kind of think back, you got to go back to the beginning of June. The following Sunday, we had four people who came up, and they shared about someone from Acts, someone who stood out and why they stood out. And then Catherine focused on Philip and then on the deacons. But this series has included a lot more than just the preaching. There have been connections throughout the church. I mean, we've started off a number of the services with a little bit of fun on the game show spoofs. So if you can remember Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, and today, Let's Make a Deal. There was also the church-wide challenge to read through the book of Acts. Now, I know some of you I've talked to have been reading through the book of Acts individually. I know there's another group that is meeting on Tuesdays at lunch and reading through the book of Acts. And then there's at least one small group that is reading through the book of Acts as well. But there was another significant event related to the life of the church and the heroes of the Bible. And that was Vacation Bible School. Excellent, excellent. So can I kind of see a show of hands of those that participated in or were involved with Vacation Bible School? Okay, so I've got kind of a big group down here, another big group back there, and some over here. All right. So I'm going to need a little bit of help, and I'm going to get this group right here to help me with the first piece. So there was a scripture that lasted throughout the week. You guys remember how that went? Remember? Okay, so let's try it again. So it was? Do good, seek peace, and then go after it. All right, do good, seek peace, and go after it. Right out of Psalm 34, 14. Thank you. Excellent. You guys got it. All right, there's another big group kind of back here that was involved with Vacation Bible School. And I need some help back here from you guys on the Heroes Code. So, does somebody want to, can I have several of you kind of stand up and help me with the Heroes Code? Because there's some action. All right. So, God's heroes have, and the first one was? Heart. Okay, God's heroes have? Courage. That's right, courage. All right. God's heroes have?
Wisdom.
God's heroes have?
Hope.
And God's heroes have?
Strength.
All right. So that was kind of the Heroes Code. Maybe everybody didn't get to see it, but there were kind of some things that went along with it. So we said, God's heroes have heart. God's heroes have courage. God's heroes have wisdom. God's heroes have hope. And God's heroes have power. There's a lot of connections within the church. The activities are related and intertwined, building upon each other. And so today, I'm going to look at my hero from the book of Acts. And I actually have a partial picture of my hero. is that? Who is that? That's you guys. That's you guys, right? That was as everybody was coming in. I tried to get a picture of everybody here. My hero is the church. So this picture is not complete. This is only a partial picture because the church spreads far and wide across the world. Those of us gathered together here are a small part of the millions of followers of Jesus around the world. Now, the church is central to the book of Acts, and we learn a lot about the early church. But to gain a really full understanding of the early church in the book of Acts, you have to read the entire book, because there's little parts all along, and you pick up a little piece here, and then chapter later, there's a little bit more. And then back in chapter 20, there's some more about the early church. So I'm only going to pick out a few of the stories of the church and why it's an unrecognized hero. One of the first questions is, what is the core of the church? Or what is central to the early church? And when you start pondering, what is central to the early church? What is central to our church right here? What is central to the church universal? I think we need to start right at Pentecost, and that's where the Holy Spirit was poured out. And then Peter got up and shared the good news. And right after that, we hear in Acts 2, verses 41 and 42, "So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They," that is the church, "devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." That is what is central and core to the church. It's fourfold. The apostles' teaching. So today, that's more of reading the Word, reading the Bible, hearing about it, talking about it, listening to it as it's taught and proclaimed. Fellowship. You saw that picture. You notice back in the back, lots and lots of getting together, shaking hands, talking, fellowship, trying to find out how people are doing, how each of us are really getting along. What can we do to help each other? And then there's the breaking of the bread, or the communion, which we are going to celebrate here in a little bit, and prayer. Prayer is so critical, not only to a disciple, but also to the early church. And the church took prayer seriously. When King Herod arrested Peter, the church didn't know what to do. And we hear this in chapter 12. Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. They just turned to prayer. And in that story, in chapter 12, Peter was released by an angel, and then the angel escorted him out into the street and then disappeared. Amazing. But this framework hasn't changed. This is the core of who we are. Scripture, fellowship, communion, prayer. You think about it, look at what happens today during worship. All of those are at the core of our worship. The early church is really composed of people from a lot of different backgrounds, different traditions, people bringing in different ideas about what is important. Not that much different from today. But they didn't act alone, or they didn't act out of selfish desires. After the conversion of Paul, we hear this account about the early church in Acts chapter 9. All over the country, Judea, Samaria, Galilee, that's spread far and wide, the church grew. They were permeated with a deep sense of reverence for God. The Holy Spirit was with them, strengthening them, and they prospered wonderfully. The church, composed of people from all over, acting in accordance not with their own desires, but in accordance with the Holy Spirit. And that's key to these stories of the early church. This image bubbles up time and time again throughout Acts, the Holy Spirit acting in and through and with the people as these stories kind of go on through. Now I was kind of pondering on the church, and I said, well, what did the early church do? I found that they helped each other. But what was amazing is they were helping other disciples of Jesus that they had never met. So in Acts chapter 11, we hear this story. For an entire year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught a great many people, and it was in Antioch that the disciples were first called Christians. At that time, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and predicted by the Spirit that there would be a severe famine all over the world. And this took place during the reign of Claudius. The disciples determined that according to their ability, each would send relief to the believers living in Judea. They did this, sending it to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. They would gather up what they had, food and money, and send it to other disciples, many who were far away, giving it to just a few people to go deliver it, never knowing what would happen, never knowing really who it was going to. That is courage. And that's an amazing way of providing hope to people they're never going to meet. And then the church is often an unrecognized participant in a vital part of the stories through it Acts, that is, the sharing of the good news. And listen to this reading in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Now in the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the ruler, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, the church laid their hands on them and sent them off. The early church, the church is a vital part in the missionary journeys throughout the book of Acts. You could say that the church really is critical in assisting and empowering others for a mission. Those who would travel to share the good news would not go without the church praying and laying on their hands, commissioning them, and then sending them off with blessings. While they were away, the church would continue to pray for them. The early church really is a part of those missionary journeys. The church really is vital. It supports them both before and during. Before with discernment, with prayer, and then during. When Paul and the others were traveling, sharing the good news, the churches would support them with supplies, with encouragement, and with prayer. And sometimes sending other people to join them, to help them out. So the ones who go off on these missionary trips, the stories are told about them. We hear all about Paul's missionary journeys. But behind them is the church, blessing, backing, such a vital and important component, an unrecognized hero. Now next Saturday morning, bright and early, a group of 45 high school students and adults from Grace are going to depart on a mission trip to Chicago. So we have an important part to play in this mission trip today. We're going to commission them. We're going to send them forth with our prayers and our blessings. And then next week, while they're in Chicago, we are part of that mission trip. We continue to play a part of that mission trip, to pray for, to encourage them, to receive with glad hearts the news that they send back, and then in their return to welcome them with open arms. the church backing, the church support is so critical for others to go forth. Those who are here and are staying are really part of the mission. Now, the church is composed of a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds. The church is a hero when we are being led by the Holy Spirit to reach out to others, both inside the church, like what's going on in the back, and also outside the church, like what's going to happen next week. Be the church. Provide hope to others. Provide hope to those you know. Provide hope to those you will never, ever meet. Provide courage. Provide inspiration. Find ways to share your hope, your courage, your inspiration. Now, I am convinced that the book of Acts does not end with a period. I am convinced the book of Acts ends with a dot, dot, dot. It's not finished. We are called to be the church today, right here, right now, and we get to write another chapter. It may not end up in the Bible that's in your pews, but it is another chapter in the book of the church that people will talk about, that we can share with what's going on. And how do we do that? When we gather together and support each other, when we listen to the words of Jesus and continue to grow as disciples, when we pray for each other, when we pray with each other, those right here in our neighborhood and those we never meet, to actively live out the life of Jesus, starting with the breaking of the bread and recalling what Jesus did, how he has sent the Holy Spirit to be with us today to continue to guide us. And then for us to go out with the Holy Spirit into our neighborhood, city, county, and world and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.